God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. This is Will Rice, and First Light is a brief Bible challenge encouraging you to read God's Word, to think about God's Word, and to live it in real life. People change. They are changing every day. The fact is that we age every day. Last night, this rarely ever happens, but for some reason, I had some back pain. I think I may know an exercise I've been doing that has caused this, but maybe it's totally unrelated. I just know that last night, I had some back pain trying to get to sleep. Again, that rarely happens, but I suspect it might be the fact that I am changing. I'm changing every day and not always for the good. I'm aging. Recently, we saw some dear and some lifelong friends, and I'm just reminded that every one of us are changing every day. Now, at the same time, you meet an old friend, and maybe I've changed, maybe he's changed, maybe she's changed somewhat, but you can also see the same eyes and the same thinking and the same speech and the same character. Now, even that can change. Our character is shaped, it's molded by the things that we repeat, by the things that we allow, by the things that we think, but here's something to think about that is really transcendent, and that is God. What about God? Does God change? Does God age? Does God forget? Does God's power diminish? And the answer is no. God is immutable. That means God is unchanging. Now, this is really hard to comprehend because at the same time, God responds to life. So God is immutable. God's character is unchanging. God is immutable in his character, but responsive to life. Now, how in the world can that happen? Well, in Numbers chapter 27, we have two separate incidents. I don't know if they're even closely connected. They're kind of separate, but both of them remind me of the same truth, and that is that God is unchanging, and yet God is responsive. Now, sometimes I have a hard time holding both these thoughts in my head at one time, but both are true. The two stories found in Numbers 27, the first is the story of the daughters of a man named Zelophehad. Now, maybe I've mispronounced his name. It's not a name I think I've ever read before, except in a couple different accounts in the Bible. And it gives the name of his daughters. He had some daughters, and they came to Moses, and they came to Eleazar, the high priest. And the point was, as Israel was coming into the land, they would be soon be coming into the land, and they were to inherit land. They had a situation that was fairly unusual, but obviously it wasn't going to be singular. This is a little bit of case law, you might say. The land was to be kept in the tribe, in the family, so to speak, and passed on from one man to his son and so on, so that every family had a portion of land in the land that God was giving them, in the land of promise. But these ladies, their problem was their father had died in the wilderness, and they say in verse 4 of chapter 27, why should the name of our father be done away from among his family? Because he hath no son, given us, therefore, a possession among the brethren of our father. And so here was a question. What about these girls? Were they to pass on the inheritance given their father to another family? And so what did Moses do? Moses brought their case, their cause, I should say, before the Lord. You know what God did? God actually responded to their appeal. God did. It's an amazing thing. And what follows is, verse 11 says, and it shall be unto the children of Israel a statutes of judgment as the Lord commanded Moses. So there was an amendment to the law that God had given. God had not changed. God's character had not changed. In fact, this amendment was made in order to accomplish what God was intending to accomplish in the first place. And that was to each family was to be given the portion that God had given the nation in general. So here's an immutable God, a God whose character never changes, but an immutable God responding in character, in kind, in principle, true to himself, but responding to situations on the ground, so to speak. God does not change. His character does not change. His purpose does not change. But here are some ladies who had an obedient appeal, and God responded. How amazing that God would ever condescend to respond to humans such as we are. And yet God does. Another example of this is found in the story of Moses. Moses was going to die. And God said, Moses, you're not going into the land. And Moses says, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation. Now, I admire Moses for this. In verse 16, instead of complaining or worrying or crying that he's not going to go into the land, he says, Lord, if I'm not going to be here, send someone to set over these people to lead them into the land. And the Lord said to Moses, verse 18, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thine hand upon him. Now, what Moses had said is, Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, God, I'm not going to live. I'm not going to last, but you are the God of the spirits of all flesh. Set someone to lead these people. And God says, here's Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit. In other words, God's Spirit transcends the lifetime of any one man or woman or person. So what happened? God responded to the obedient appeal of these daughters, and God responded to the appeal of this man. In other words, different man, Joshua, as opposed to Moses, but God is the God of all spirits. And here was a man in whom is the Spirit. Different ways. You know, God spoke to Moses very directly. In verse 21, the Bible tells us that Joshua would receive direction from God. He'll stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall ask counsel for him after the judgment of the Urim. In other words, it wasn't quite as direct as God had spoken to Moses. It was a different man, a different way, but the same destination. In verse 23, the Bible says that Moses laid his hands upon him, Joshua, and gave him a charge as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. Different man, different situation, same God, same command, same destination, same purpose. The purpose was, I have promised a land. We're going to divide this land among the families. What if one family has no men? Then we can make an amendment. My purpose remains the same. What if Moses dies? A different man, but my purpose remains the same. Maybe different means of communicating to this man, but the God of all flesh is the God who will lead these people into the future. So what is the upshot of this? The upshot is that God is unchanging. Aren't you glad for someone whose character does not change, whose power do not diminish, whose judgments do not change? God is, in some sense, predictable. That is, he is more sure in his acting and dealings than is any person you know, because God is more consistent than any person you know. His character is consistent with his holiness, his sovereignty, his being who he is, who is actual God. And yet, immutable God responds to obedient appeals, and he responds by giving guidance that transcends the lifetime of any one man. Today, make your life a life that responds to the unchanging God, a God who does not change and yet responds to the life that we live in predictable and holy character.